Welcome to the Coffee Cast with Stephen Hayward of Project X. Hopefully over a good cup of coffee, we're going to have a great conversation. So please join us to welcome this week's guest on the Coffee Cast.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Coffee Cast with Steve Hayward of Project X. It's been a couple weeks since we last chatted, so... And I guess I'm also a day late, so... A day late, a penny pinched, or whatever the saying goes. But today I wanted to just kind of talk a little bit about Projects the Challenge. And I've had a great opportunity to be working on a bunch of projects over the last couple of weeks that have had me pretty busy, which is why I'm a little distracted at the moment. But wanted to talk about some lessons learned and some thoughts that I had around... what has been going on, and also open it up, and hopefully you folks will add some posts. But when I was a kid, my parents used to read the book Children the Challenge, and I'm sure someone's been smart enough to write a book Projects the Challenge. And I've chatted enough times in previous interviews with various people that are very experienced in running projects and the issues that they found, and often they found it really boiled down to communication. And with this experience, wholeheartedly agree, communication is key, but there are a bunch of other things that, you know, may end up being highly connected to communication, but also have a huge impact. The other one I was thinking about was thinking, teamwork, and then a little bit of drive. So when Graham talks about people and the types of people that he wants with Project X, he talks about his CAP idea, which is capability, attitude, and I can't remember what the P is. Capability, attitude. I'll come back to it. But for me, there's also the need for these people to be able to fulfill the communication, teamwork, and thinking side of things. So let me kind of talk about what I mean. And communication has been overdone in previous coffee casts, so I'm going to just give it a little bit of lip service just for a reminder, but otherwise feel free to listen to some of the other ones with Mark Diamond and Ted Aslanidis and Mike Lemon. But communication is huge, and the last thing anybody wants on a project is surprises. So the need to have regular, organized, and efficient communication is huge. And what I'm finding is it creates an amount of trust in the situation where when things don't go well, you may not be 100% okay with it, but you can deal with it. But where if all the time in a communication chain you feel like you're always left out of something, then you don't necessarily trust. So I'll give you an example. Working with a large systems integration company as part of the team that I have, and I'm actually working with two. Both of them are competitors, and actually both of them are competitors with Project X. But one, on one side, is embracing the whole communication, attending regular meetings that I've organized with them, and really thriving and feeding things back, not waiting for those meetings to feed things back, but also really driving things forward. So, George, kudos to your team. I know you and I have talked about this in the past, but it's just wonderful to work with these folks. They are doing an absolutely amazing job at fulfilling that communication gap. So it creates a level of trust, a level of understanding. The surprises are smaller, if any whatsoever. The feedback is amazing, and I can't just over exemplify the fact that when people don't agree with you, they're telling you then and there, communicating it, working it through, coming up with open risks, issues, item, figuring out alignment so that when we meet the next time, as with this group, we meet every 2 days. We actually have some things to talk about. Our meetings are fast, they're concise. I certainly get a lot of value out of it. I've asked the people that attend the meetings. They seem to get a lot of value out of it. And I certainly feel a lot closer aligned, and there's a lot of synergy that needs to happen there. On the other hand, there's a large blue organization that we're working with, which is the software vendor as well as the implementation upgrade partner. And they attended some of the early meetings, and we actually, with them, I have a meeting every morning at 9 o'clock, of which after one of the primary people left to go on something else, the rest of the team have decided not to participate. And so not sure exactly why, whether they don't see the value or there just isn't enough change in those one in a day. But funny thing is as soon as these meetings stopped, we started to have a lot of surprises, such as maintenance agreements not being signed, so now we can't get software, then walking through those issues, wrong contacts for software downloads. Any various number of things, and it very much seems like a serial discussion. So one of the things I'm thinking about is in that communication or lack of communication, there doesn't seem to be alignment to the vision. So when we had our kickoff meeting, we created some very interesting alignment, and I was really proud of the people that were working there and really surprised at how well they stepped into that rapid results framework and kicked off on it. But I'm going to hold that conversation off. But with that lack of communication, I'm constantly being surprised, and not small surprises. Can't get software, can't get resources that were previously planned to be on site on a certain day are now saying they're needing 2 days to prepare, whereas they've had 2.5 weeks to prepare, and that's changing, resources changing without a good explanation, a whole bunch of things. And I know this is a very complex project, and I'm oversimplifying, and I don't mean to bash these people, but it's just an example of where I think the communication has really let me down. And I think it's let everybody down. And what it has turned into is, for me, a situation where there is a lack of trust of the other party on the information that they're sharing with me, and that there are things missing, that even the things that I was having to make as assumptions that were safe before, I now have to wholeheartedly question. So as I go into my governance meeting this evening with the senior leadership team on this project, it will be very interesting to see how, when I share these observations, how everybody reacts. I know that our client is very aware of all these issues, because I've had to actually get their help to escalate to try and move some of these roadblocks, which is very disappointing, because these are such small things that we should have been able to overcome without having to escalate. And that kind of leads into the next thought, which was teamwork. And I know my son loves to sing his song Teamwork and all. While I'm starting this up, I'll see if I can actually play it for you, because it was supposed to be played on a previous podcast. But here we go. I think I have it now. So hopefully it'll turn out.
What's it gonna be?
Teamwork.
What's it gonna be?
Teamwork.
So that's Thomas's little input to the situation. Recorded on my Trio as we were having some fun. There's a great show that's on for kids, called Wonder Pets, and it's all about teamwork, which is an absolutely hilarious thing. But as you sit and watch children's videos, and you watch as they learn, whether it's through the Berenstain Bears or this new show, I am absolutely amazed how real the lessons that they've built into these things are, which is why when I talked at the beginning about Children the Challenge, Projects the Challenge, I'm finding as I go through my evolution from a professional side as well as from a parent side, there seems to be a lot of correlation as we go through. So anyway, so teamwork. One of the things that I thought was an underlying need is to have everybody be on the same page and have an objective match. And One of the things I got out of my Rapids results exposure and the high impact consulting is that to a certain extent, if you take your objectives and make them too much of tasks alignment, not to say that you don't need to do that, but at the early stages, then you lose the ability for the team to feel the flexibility to adapt and change. And one of the things I was really excited about when we started this project was how well our project sponsor understood that issue and knew where to stop. And so instead of saying, I need you to do all these various tasks and align it, he just said, this development environment needs to be done at this point, and we need this production environment to be done at this point, and no more development, new development starts until that. And he did a really nice job of setting the stage and setting the boundaries and constraints without making them too far down. And in the RHSA training, and I know I've talked to some other people that have gone through other training about really how you set objectives and do these things, there's a tennis ball exercise where you talk about setting some objectives and you watch the people do this exercise and then you time it. And then you watch as the team evolves to understand what their constraints are to see what they can do to change the situation from how it was presented at the beginning. And it was a very, very interesting exercise to learn both how, when you set objectives and boundaries and constraints, how your team can step up. The one challenge you have, which kind of goes back to communication, is if everybody's not kind of working in concert together, it doesn't matter how best interest to the end goal people are working, you can lose that alignment and the understanding and respect. Now, the other side of it is that we also all work in organizations where we have different aspects of impact outside of the foray of what we're physically doing at that time. And those issues are very real and palpable. And they can also be personal. I remember when talking about these hidden factors with Jim one day, we talked about the fact that you never know if someone is going through a messy divorce, they've just fallen in love, they just had kids, they're thinking about quitting their job, they may have a faith issue, they may be deciding that they're changing careers, maybe they just gave their notice, they're worried about losing their job. All of these things affect how we behave. And when I talked about anxiety in a previous post, those were, to me, were situational anxiety things that come from being in a situation. The hidden factors are around other things that also change your behavior and can really affect how you fit into a team, or at least how you may be perceived as fitting into a team. And those are really crucial. And I think as I look through, and I spent a lot of time last night really thinking about this, the one challenge I have that's an offshoot of communication is that teamwork and how we're getting that team to gel. And there's a couple other projects where we're, you know, having that challenge and got some great people, and not one of them is not absolutely amazing at what they do, but it's around finding ways for us to all work better together to leverage each other's value and align it to the goal. And I think that's very interesting, because that leads to my next one, which is around the way people think. And, you know, in all fairness, I'm a very logical engineer, and so I generally think logically. And not everybody thinks that way. I know certainly that when I try and do logic with my lovely wife, who's a teacher, that's not the way she thinks. And there's nothing wrong with the way she thinks. There's actually quite often things wrong with the way I think, because life is a balance between logic and emotion, and one cannot live without the other. But that way that people think is very important, and understanding what their predispositions are is really crucial. So I had a great conversation with someone the other day, and I really had some great insight as to how they think. And they're a really, really smart person, and they think about this is where we should do this type of transformation. And there's nothing wrong with that way of thinking. It's just about whether that's aligned with the architectural decisions made by that client and the way that they perceive where that type of transformation should be done. And so if you can capture and understand that, you certainly have a lot better chance of your team to be able to work together, your project to align to its objective, and a lot of other things. And then we go down to implementation and implementation capability and capacity. And sorry, I figured out, by the way, what P was in Graham's thing. It's presence. So capability, attitude, and presence. But that capacity, and it's very different from capability, and Graham and I have always talked about never oversell capability. It's okay to oversell capacity because capacity can be added. But the actual, in this case, I'm talking about implementation capacity, which is the ability to actually deliver. And that is really key. The one thing I've learned out of my exposure to rapid results, that lovely setup phase, or even with the workout, that town hall, two-day workout session, those are all great. But we need to align and have implementation capability. And that's where, with the rapid results projects, you can slowly build that without it being a big slam dunk. Find out at the end that you didn't actually have that capability or capacity, and it hurts you. Because the one challenge I have with my project that I'm doing is I've now lost the faith in some of the implementation capability. And now I have to go back and question that and deal with that. And where we'd look for some quick wins to help prove that out, build some positive momentum, some zest, as Bob Schaefer would say, I've now lost at least my belief in that. And I'm hoping that I'm keeping it largely hidden from the team. But we need to work on that. And that's not something that I have to abandon. It's that I need to just address it. So that's kind of my glorious overview of thoughts and some lessons learned on Project the Challenge. And I guess the only thing I'll add to the whole thing is just how important the first 4 days are. I think the first 4 days in any project are absolutely crucial. Even if you start working and say that the project hasn't officially started, even if you have people working on things. But when you actually say that project is officially started, you really need to have your shiitake together. It is really crucial. So, thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Coffee Cast. So hopefully you've got a great cup of coffee and have a great day. So it's a lovely day here up in Toronto, and go out and enjoy it. Talk to you soon.
For more information about Project X, please join us on our website at www.pxltd.ca, or hop on our blog and join in the conversation at pxltd.typepad.com. This is a copyright of Project X Limited. Thank you for joining us today.